Welcome to Cardiovascular Matters. Whether you are looking for answers for yourself or someone you love, we are here to give you the best information available. Each week, the founder of Cardiovascular Institute of the South, Dr. Craig Walker, and medical device sales veteran, Terry Roberts, discuss the causes, symptoms, treatment, and prevention of health-related issues stemming from cardiovascular disease. Now here's your hosts, Dr. Craig Walker and Terry Roberts.
Hey, welcome back to Cardiovascular Matters. You know, the premise of this podcast is to provide more time with the doctor. And we're lucky to have the world-renowned cardiologist, Dr. Craig Walker, to spend time with us and explain the various illnesses and things that we're going to go through, but give it to you in such a way that you can understand what's going on, understand the treatment, see what's available out there, and then and get help for yourself or your loved one. So please tune in and listen as we tackle these topics here at Cardiovascular Matters. Thank you. Okay, we're back with Dr. Walker. On this week's podcast, we wanted to talk about perforator veins and what's important about them, and tell us more about how you might treat someone with that situation.
Sure, Terry. In our body, we have far more veins than we actually need. We have deep veins. Deep veins run near our bones and our legs. They're big. They're the mass transit of blood for the most part. We have superficial veins, which are under the skin. And superficial veins are when we have varicose veins, that's what we right. see. But right. connections between the deep veins and the superficial veins are called perforator veins. And perforator veins are very important for many reasons. Sometimes they're the cause of problems. For instance, if one makes an injection of one of the drugs that we use to close veins, and some of that gets into a perforator vein, then that drug can get into the deep vein and cause deep vein thrombosis, which is certainly something we never want to have happen. And so we're very careful with these perforator veins. But perforator veins also have another reason that we pay a lot of attention to them. Perforator veins, particularly those in an area where a person has a non-healing venous ulcer, and sometimes these non-healing ulcers may have gone on for years. Sometimes these perforator veins are what are causing the pressure into that ulcer and causing the skin to die. Now, this is very important. So whenever we have any form of vein pathology, there are certain therapies that we always recommend. We recommend compression hose. We recommend elevation of the leg above the level of the heart to facilitate drainage of the veins and to decrease pressure. But when we have these perforator veins, specifically applying high pressure from the deep vein towards the skin, these venous ulcers simply may not heal. And so even though we may have already looked at the big veins in the abdomen, the iliac veins, which we talked on in a previous area, and we may have taken care of superficial veins, if there is a vascular bed, a venous vascular bed of an ulcer, and there's a perforator, particularly if it is a large perforator, supplying that with high pressure venous blood, then that area doesn't heal. It continues to weep fluid. And even with all of these measures that we spoke of, leg elevation, calf pump exercises, compression hose, often those ulcers simply will not heal. And certainly if we try to apply, for instance, a skin graft of some sort to that area, or the new grafts which can apply, which may come from different sorts of tissues, it typically will not heal because this high pressure creates fluid which keeps oozing out through the areas where it's sutured and meant to become incorporated into the skin. So we pay a lot of attention to these vessels. And, you know, historically, these were hard vessels to treat. They're relatively small. They're relatively short. And it's very important to shut these down. Now, earlier attempts used fairly big devices, radio frequency devices, which are sometimes almost the same size as the diameter of those vessels. And as you might imagine, those were somewhat difficult to deliver. Perhaps my favorite way of treating a perforator vein, which is going to an ulcer, sometimes there are several perforator veins feeding an ulcer, is with one of the forms of laser. And the reason I like this is the laser fiber is very thin, not much thicker than a human hair. And so what we can do is we can access the perforator vein with a needle. And once we're in the vein, we can advance a small guide wire, again, a guide wire not much bigger than a human hair, the entire length of the perforator. And then we can advance over that wire the needle further into the perforator. Now, once we have done that, then we apply numbing medication all around the perforator. Now, why do we do that? Well, we do that to stop there from being any pain once we actually turn the laser energy on, because it causes heat, which will score down this perforator. And we want to make sure that doesn't injure tissues in that area. So we inject a substance such as lidocaine around this, and then we have pre-measured the distance of the wire and the laser fiber, and we put something called a TUI borsum on the laser fiber. And then what happens is, once we have this in and we've injected the fluid, then we simply remove the wire, and through the needle, through this very fine needle, we place the laser fiber. Now we have the laser fiber in the entire length of this perforator vessel, and it is sticking out just about 1 to 2 millimeters. You can't see the laser fiber. It is that small. So you have to preset it to where you know where it is. And then what we do is we turn the laser fiber on and we make several burns using the laser. And I say burns because it causes heat.
Right.
It's not exactly igniting in one's body, but it causes heat and makes this vessel scar. Now, I like this because since it is much smaller than the vessel, it easily can go up and down in this. And then what we do is, in that entire length of the perforator vein, we scar it down. So if we can scar a longer section down, it's more likely to then stay scarred down, which is what we want. We want to get rid of that high pressure, which is causing the ulcer to not heal. Now, sometimes one fixes one of these and later on another may be connected. And so sometimes it is more than one treatment required to take care of the perforator veins. Or sometimes we'll see even 3 or 4 perforator veins in an area. And if we do, we'll treat those all at the same time. But this has been, in my practice, revolutionary in healing these vein ulcers. And these ulcers are a real problem for patients. As you might imagine, they ooze fluid forever. They're unsightly. Infection can get into these. And so this is one more of those treatments for patients with vein ulcers.
I've got a question. So Dr. Walker, you mentioned that you you take a guide wire and wire the vein, much like we would if it was an artery. And then does the laser fiber, does it track over that wire, or do you have to do, how does that work?
No, the laser fiber does not track over the wire because the laser fiber is as small as that wire. So we use the wire once we get into the vein, and we advance, once it's in place, we can advance the needle, which does not have a very short tip.
I see.
We can advance that needle over the wire. And so once the needle is in, it has a bigger channel than the size of the wire or the size of the laser catheter. And so at that point, that's why we've pre-measured the laser fiber to make sure when we connect it, it will be sticking out only about 1 millimeter outside of the needle. Because remember now, we can't see the laser fiber. It's just that small. But we can see the needle. So what we then do as we're lasering, we pull back and we can see the needle. And then we treat the entire segment of that vein. Often this provides really immediate relief of symptoms, and we start to see healing of these venous ulcers. And this has certainly been something which I think has revolutionized the way that we can treat these venous perforators and venous
ulcers. So do you discover these perforators via ultrasound? Is that okay?
We do.
And then what? Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, once you have those isolated and you see kind of the area that they're feeding, do you, let's say there's an ulcer involved, are you going upstream, downstream, around that area, or straight through it?
Yeah. So we find the ulcer and we look through the center of the ulcer and all of the perimeter of the ulcer. And we look for any of these connections coming from the deep vein via these perforators, and we try to close each of those if we see them. And certainly we want to close the bigger ones. The bigger ones are going to result in the ability to put more pressure on the skin and therefore injury to the skin. And so we want to close those effectively. We don't want to do too much of this. If there's a lot of time involved. We don't want to close perforators that may not be causing a problem. But if they're feeding that bed of an ulcer, then we do try to close those.
That's interesting. I would just suggest that if there's patients out there that are listening to this that have that type of ulcer, non-healing, and it's one of those situations where they've been told there's really not a lot that can be done. If I'm that patient, I would certainly reach out to you and see about getting on the schedule to get evaluated for this, because this is new material for me today for sure.
Yeah, I think that certainly we go through a checklist whenever we see venous ulcers. We worry, could this patient have chronic clot? Could they have a problem with the vena cava in the abdomen or the iliac veins, which are in the abdomen? These are the main drains of the legs. Could this all just be a superficial vein applying this pressure? But often people have gone through that checklist. And once that checklist has been evaluated, then we always have to be concerned about these perforator veins. And these certainly, historically people thought these very difficult to treat. And actually, in today's world, they've got so much easier to treat, because now we have these devices which are very small, they're easy to get into these relatively small channels. We can guide them very effectively, and we can certainly close perforator veins. So I think this does represent a real advance in our ability to help people with venous problems.
That is outstanding. Well, this has been a really fruitful talk for me in order to understand more about what's going on in the venous system. I hope everybody enjoyed this today. And again, be sure to like and follow us. And we'll be back next week with more information on cardiovascular matters. If some of the subjects here apply to you or one of your loved ones, get a hold of Dr. Walker. It's very easy at www.cardio.com. Pull up their website, which they actually just refreshed in the last week. And it's very easy to use. You can scroll down. You can make appointments with him. His area down there in Houma, Louisiana, is very easy to get to, just south of New Orleans. And they've got a wonderful facility. It'll blow your mind. So anyway, don't forget www.cardio.com. This is Terry Roberts signing off for Cardiovascular Matters.
Thanks for listening. And please subscribe, like, and share this podcast with your friends and family. Join us next week for new topics and answers with Dr. Craig Walker and Terry Roberts on Cardiovascular Matters.